All right. Well, you can find your way in your Bibles to Luke 12 and Revelation 1 and Revelation 22 and Revelation 16 and Revelation... No, that's good. Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. Weren't those the verses for the conference? Luke 12. Father, thank you for answering that prayer that protected us from Ben. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that wants you to be able to give us your word, to keep your word in our hearts, what you've said to us, and that we would hold fast to you. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke 12... I just want to pick a couple of these things up. I've got to tie a couple things together as we've done this conference, as John has done this conference. Prayed for the theme. A lot of prayer to see what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. And there's a word in Luke 12 that forms this understanding which we need. Luke 12, 31. And... seek the kingdom of God. Right? Seek the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added. 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse before it. And this is what we were exhorted by Ben, just to tie this together. He's taking this viewpoint and saying, right, he's calling them distractions, ventures, whatever treasure, things of this world. And he's just, it's... seeking first the kingdom of God, you cannot go against verse 34. If you try to think you can outsmart the Lord in verse 34, then you're not making him Lord. So then verse 35 is a conference verse. Let your waist be girded about and your lamps burning. So the word there is, if your treasures are in this world, so Ben's analogy was when back in the Jesus movement days when nobody had anything, they were very quick to... yeah, rapture, man, we're out of here. But now it's so same, or again, as that has gotten old, the real issue is the riches of this world have come in. Much more to so-called lose in the immediate catching away to be with the Lord. So the instruction is, in 32, sell what you have. So, let your waist be girded, lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. And he knocks on the door. They receive him immediately. So find your way to Revelation 22. And if you look how this reads in Revelation 22, and I'll look at it with you how it reads, the very end, as Mike's taken us through this, so, surely I am coming quickly. Nahi, right? A Greek word I can actually pronounce. So, where's that? Where's Alex? Is Taylor really Greek? Chick, is the last name Taylor, is that Greek? Because he's been telling us he's Greek. Because Chickelis is Greek, right? Is Taylor Greek?
He's Greek derivative.
A Greek derivative. Everything is Greek. Every word comes from Greek. Yeah. Because I'm looking for the signs of loving food, right?
Yeah.
There you go, all right, very good. Nahi in the Greek. So I just want to show something to you that the Lord wants us to have. If you'll notice this, and I'm going to talk about this, and this is really the heart. Are we talking about the coming of the Lord? Or are we talking about our Lord who is coming? That's different, isn't that?
Yeah.
That's different. And when I'm reading through this, and so I just want to hand this off in a very relational manner with all of you. Pastors have the same temptations as all of us, right? There's not a special cut where someone does not have the common temptations as everyone else. So all these guys who are sharing the Word of God are presenting their lives in that way so that it can be of a benefit to you, that you can see one who has said, I will seek first the kingdom of God. Right? I will lay my life down, I'll do that, and so that others can walk the same way. We're all being exhorted and encouraged to live for the Lord. And my emphasis here is that I would be able to stand up before you and declare the Lord who's coming. Because the Lord is going to come, and the world could talk about the coming of the Lord. Now, they wouldn't necessarily call him Lord yet, but they could talk about the end or the coming, what it is, because don't think that those in the world haven't heard these things and are available on the internet and that these things are searchable. But how will he come to you? So in Luke 12, it's the servants who are waiting for their master, and they want their master to come back. The master says, I'm returning, I'm going to the wedding feast, I'll come back when I come back. And so they're ready at the second, third, whatever watch of the night, but they want him to come back. So when you look at Revelation 22:20, and it's the word surely, or yea, verily, yea, the yea of the yea, verily, as you read in the King James, surely I'm coming quickly, nahi. And then they notice the next emphasis, I am. Now, it's conjugated, but it's in the conjugation of the verb where Jesus is very clearly stating, I'm the one who's coming, okay? The master of the house, if you will, and just attaching these things in scriptures. And the same way that you could read Luke 12, and then he says, sell all that you have. Lord, do you really mean that? Okay. You know, Lord, are you talking to me or just to the people, right? And at some point, this, what's really being worked out for each and every one of us is what I believe Ben introduced is we wanted the Lord to come back and rapture us when we had nothing. We even can joke around about the wedding night. And so there's a little bit of truth to these jokes, like, I mean, I didn't get to experience the pleasures in this life. I've been living as a Christian, keeping myself and waiting, and then rapture, and it's like a cruel joke. But the way this reads in 22:20, it reads like this, Nahi, I'm coming quickly, meaning immediately when the time comes, or again, as it is, a thief in the night from 2 Peter 3:10. Right? Behold, I come as a thief, and this interaction. But if you look at this, even so is the exact same Greek word as surely. And this is the first time, you know, the church and the bride in the context of this chapter has said, come, you know, asking the Lord to come. He's saying, look, I am coming. Look, I am coming. He's been saying that over and over. Look, see, right? So when you hear that, behold, it's look and see and know that Jesus is coming. That's straightforward. Up until here, and this is the final answer where he says, and he testifies. This is his witness. Jesus' final witness is, Nahi, surely I'm coming. And then the answer is, Nahi, even so. So there's an agreement here. And this is what I want. I can't get us all to agree on everything and or anything, but this is where the Lord brings each and every one of us to agree with him. Surely I'm coming quickly. Surely come quickly. That's how it reads. Now, as we take a look at what this really means for us as we respond, well, who is he? And this, I think, is probably the biggest problem with the coming of the Lord is knowing the Lord who's coming. And that's the whole pursuit from all of us to have that relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. Making him Lord, then everything he says is what is true, to be obeyed, followed, loved. If Jesus gives a command, I love the command because I love Jesus. What if it's an unpleasant command? What do you mean, unpleasant command? My Lord gave that to me. It's not unpleasant to me. Even if it's difficult, then every difficult task, therefore, again, as it comes as a command, because would Jesus really, our Lord, give us a command that we could not do? What a cruel, or again, to the minas, right, or minas, what a cruel thing it would be to give one a mina and yet not give them the ability to do anything with it, because my master is austere or cruel. See, what we need is we need the one who is the image of the invisible God. Right? That's our Lord. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. By him, all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Surely he's coming quickly. See, and we sang this song. I don't know if you are aware of that. That's Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He is before all things. In him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Now to really kind of wrap our arms around this and be able to hand it off for each and every one of us, Mike laid it out. The second coming is the judgment for the wicked or the judgment for the ungodly. Don't miss that. In fact, one of the oldest prophecies recorded in the scriptures comes from Enoch, but it's not recorded until the book of Jude, verse 14, that the seventh from Adam prophesies that the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. To do what? Right? To punish the ungodly for all their ungodly things, that the acts that they have committed. Now, I lay this forth. It takes quite a bit to come to the point where 22:20 says, the Lord says, surely I come quickly, that all of our voices and for us personally would be able to be right there and say, our Lord said, surely I'm coming quickly, and I'm right there with him. Lord, come quickly. So what I'm watching for us, and again, this decision to be made, it's not out of the blue that this is made. In fact, Jesus has been talking all along from when he was here on the earth. He's, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back in this way. He teaches, I will be coming back, and I need you to be ready for me, and I need you to be ready for me in such a way that you're watching just as if you were expecting me to come back to my house, and as one of my servants, you would be ready to open the door, whatever needs. And then he says, but I'm going to come, and then you're going to sit at the table, and I'm going to serve you. But in that readiness, there's this agreement together, and it kind of goes like this as I put this together. The second coming of Jesus, it's the warning, right? Again, think about it, because it's all in advance now. It's the warning that the wicked are going to be judged. So they have an opportunity to repent. And therefore, I think of the things that have audibly been said, as Mike brought that forth. Very important. Psalm 62, a psalm of David. And he says, I've heard this, right? I've heard this. David actually, was it audible? For him, it may have been audible. He says, I've heard this, that power belongs to God. I heard this once, twice it has been said, that power belongs to God, and then also that mercy belongs to God. Now, as I describe this, I'm trying to hand off what the scriptures are laying forth, because you have to decide, is the return of Jesus to destroy the wicked and ungodly who've done all their ungodly acts, and to destroy the wicked? Because when he returns, it's judgment and destruction and a feast for the birds of the air. It's graphic. And so some of us aren't right there when he says, surely I come. We'd say, well, wait a minute, Lord, there's some people yet. Okay. Now, I don't think we have any more mercy than God does. But we're not where he's at because we think we know better. But nobody's been the Lord's counselor. You understand that? Nobody has ever been the Lord's counselor to say, you're doing it wrong. Yet we, in all of our prayers, what are we really doing many times with God? We're informing God that if he just had all the information the way we do, surely you would do it this way. Not he. So here's what our Lord says. The one who made all things, he said, surely I'm coming. And then the second part, there is a reward for the righteous. And this might be the real reason why we don't want him to show up. The reward for the righteous. Because you're going to, again, so back to that Psalm 62 of David, I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that mercy belongs to God, and that he's going to render to everyone according to their works. So part of the Lord coming back is he's going to reward the righteous. And then, so if you haven't done so well, what are you immediately saying? But wait a minute, Lord, I want to get a few things right before you come. I mean, I need you to get something. No, I got to get some things right. And so I'm just laying it out. Our Lord's very clear, and we have every objection to not be right there with him initially. And so we're brought to the place, and this is my job, to see the Lord who is coming. So whatever the Lord wants to do, that you'd be right with him and whatever he wants to do. He says stop, you stop. He says go, you go. He says give, you give. He says save, you save. He says correct, you correct. Whatever that working relationship has to be worked out between you and him, because if you love your own life, what do you know? You'll lose it. Now, I think this is really what this comes down to as we pick this up. And so this reward for the righteous. So that I'm looking at this from this standpoint. To get to where the end of Revelation declares, it's to work a repentance, a change of mind for each and every one of us, where we leave this conference, at least with a changed mind that says, I want the Lord to come back. And I mean that. He's coming, and I'm saying the same thing. So that goes at the top of the list. Okay? Everything else that you put in your life has to agree with that. Very straightforward. But what do? We put other things first, and then we try to retrofit. Yes, I know the Lord's coming. And so we don't agree so quickly with the surely, the nahi. And so this, I believe, is to be for us to come to this place through repentance where we all decide for ourselves, Lord, come quickly. Right? Even so, nahi, come quickly. So what objection is in there that you would offer up something different than his witness of who he is and what he's done? And so my word here really to really exhort and encourage you is let's agree with Christ together. So back to Revelation 1. So from 22 back to Revelation 1. I'm pretty sure I can't teach Philippians 1 as fast as Adam did in that first session. So he's given every reason and incentive to make Jesus Lord of your life. First session out. Okay? So, remember, the emphasis is not the coming of the Lord. So, Revelation 1:7, behold, he's coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now, if that was the coming of the Lord, and that was what we're presenting to each and every one of you, and you're left with whatever you want to do with that, brothers, the Bible doesn't leave it that way. If he's Lord, it's not left there for you can do whatever you want to do with that. Because if you can do whatever you want to do with that, then you just made yourself Lord. Because the instructions follow. Immediately, what John says is followed up with this. So this is the Lord. Do you know him this way? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. That's who's coming back. It's our Lord who's coming back, and his testimony is, I'm coming. Now, what's he going to be doing? Okay. Destroying the wicked, the ungodly, rewarding the righteous. It's not more than that, but that's everything. Okay. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. John's told to write what you see, write in a book, deliver it to the seven churches. said, I want us to know the Lord. Go on to verse, I'm just doing letters in red, in case you're wondering. Red letter edition, just stick with me. Verse in the middle of verse 17. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's who's coming. See, it's not the coming of the Lord that's the emphasis. It's the one who's coming. The one who's coming. I have the keys of Hades and death. And there we go. Chapter 2, verse 1. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden lampstands. Verse 8. These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Verse 18, these things says the Son of God. So, our Lord is coming. So this is not a conference, retreat, series of teachings on the coming. It's on our Lord who is coming. These things says the Son of God. Whatever he says, whenever he says, to whoever he says, whatever he wants to say, whatever he wants to do, is right. And I want to get to this as quickly as I can, together with you, that whatever the Lord says, we say, yes, Lord. And that's where this word has to reach. 2:16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So that was that call of repentance of the sexual sin and the lording over, again, something else in church, lording over one another rather than Jesus Christ. I will come quickly. Going on to verse 18, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flames of fire, his feet like fine brass. Chapter 3, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. Okay. There's actually a word in verse 3 there. He says, remember how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. Revelation 3:7. These things says he who is holy, who is true, has the key of David, opens, no one shuts, no one opens. 3:11. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So in Luke 12, the servants, and he says, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Okay. So the tagline with this, you have the verses, the tagline was watching, waiting, right? Ready, serving. And that's been the heart of what this is. So if you listen to these phrases, right, hear this phrase that the Lord is going to repeat now. We're going to look at them in Revelation. Behold, coming quickly. Behold is watching. Coming is waiting, because that from Luke 12. So behold, coming quickly. Watching, waiting, imminent. So what do you do with something that is imminent? The only way you can be ready for something that is imminent is to believe that it could happen at any time. Because if you don't believe it could happen at any time, you will never be ready. no matter what you do. The only way you can be ready is if you agree together with the one who says, surely I come quickly. You have to give your answer. If you don't give your answer, you've already given your answer. So these are the behold, I come quicklies in Revelation, right? Behold, 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 behold. So last one we touched was 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that no one may take your crown. What crown? That's the Church of Philadelphia. What crown? I think it might be the same reference of the crown of those who love his appearing. Okay. Now this next one is not a lot of fun, but find your way to Revelation 16:15. I mean, it's fun to teach the Bible. And to search these all out. So the declaration in chapter 16 is the demonic, if you will, ungodly, unholy trinity with three unclean spirits coming out of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And they go out into all the world to gather for the battle of Armageddon, the battle of that great day of the Almighty. Now, I don't know how verse 15 got in there, except the Lord, as that's going on, the Lord says that to John. He's in the vision. And I look at 15, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Now, James, when he writes his letter, he says, behold, the judge is at the door. Peter, when he writes his letter, he says, judgment must begin at the house of God. Jesus says, oh, I wish the fire was already kindled. We don't think like this. We like to think, oh, I like having extra time, because extra time, then I can always have that. I will get that right later, or I can do these other things yet, and so I can still get this done. As we look at the Lord, this is the way he presents himself right at the place where it's being prophesied about in the vision that John is seeing and writing down of the battle to gather the whole world together, and Jesus is going to come and destroy those armies. And prophetically, that valley of Jezreel, which is where Telmegiddo is, and prophetically, the blood is going to be up to the height of the bridle on a horse in that whole valley. That's a lot of blood. And right at that place, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. So nobody's going to be able to avoid that. Blessed is he who does what? Watches. And then he introduces another phrase, keeps his garments, lest they walk naked and see his shame. Very straightforward. That's the righteousness that covers our shameful nakedness of unrighteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been given unto us. We reach a point in Revelation 22, or 20 through 22, where the declaration that Jesus says, let the righteous be righteous still, let the ungodly be ungodly still. There comes a point where there's no more repentance. And at this place, when those that are on the earth at that time, And there's going to be this huge destruction of the armies of the world. God's righteous in his judgments. And then he speaks right there to warn the righteous, to stay righteous. What days that we're living in, and that what this conference really serves for me, is I want to agree with the Lord. We've had a great work of the Holy Spirit. And so don't take that and say, oh, it's just an experience. See, by faith, as you receive the word, in the same way you receive that the Spirit does come upon you, and the teaching of God's word, it is God's word, it really comes down to what you want to do with this. So here's what I want to do with this. I want to get to the place that I listen to the Lord repetitively say, "Behold, I come. Look, I'm coming." Right? Watching. Now, Jesus, again, he's very clear. He says, you can see the weather. You can look outside. You can even read the signs of the times. And he said, but yet you don't know what days these are. We've been exhorted in Mike's session, these are the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And that's the behold. That's the watching. That's the watching is Jesus is coming. These are the days of judgment. That's Mike's session. And what do I want to do with that? God's judgment is good. When I stand before God and I'm judged for what I've done, that's going to be the best day of my life. Do you hear that? I have nothing that I'm going to stand upon on my own righteousness. I'm going to cry out mercy of God. I receive Jesus. I'm righteous because of him. And that's all I'm going to plead. Best day of my life. Why? Because everything that was not of God, that I tried to get done and do, it's going to be burned away. Now, do we really look at that as the best day of our lives? See, we don't agree with the Lord very quickly. We agree with him on the things we like to agree on. We really like to agree with the scriptures that we're encouraged because we've done that part of the word, and we say, that's a great part of the word. Why can't everybody do that so easily? But then you come across the scriptures that like, wow, I don't agree very quickly with the Lord on that. So the one way I want to bring us to and the whole purpose of this is to agree together that when he comes, right, and his reward for everyone's works is exactly what we need. Now I'm talking around Psalm 62, and I'm just going to read it to you. 62, 11, and 12. Twice I have heard this. God has spoken once. Is David saying God talked out loud? That might be one thing that David could honestly say he heard in his entire life. Right? The prophets were sent to tell David. The Urim and the Thummim, he would hear from God. He would have God directing and leading and guiding him. But when he says Psalm 62:11, he says, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Why is standing before the Lord going to be the best day of my life? Because God is merciful. Every one of us, the moment you come to Christ, what happened to all those works that were done in unrighteousness? Do they just disappear? They're transferred. All that sinful, ungodly, wicked, unrighteous works that would have been our list. See, some men pursue works that I have to make up for the bad works I've done. And then I'm going to do more good works, and then when I'm before God, maybe that outweighs. But the Bible is very clear. All of my works that I would have been judged for, God is going to be merciful to me, a sinner, and that he transferred those, the reward of those ungodly works that I worked and sinned, and he transferred them onto Jesus on the cross, and he judges sin. And I'd love to agree with that one, right? Like, I'm right there. And so to come through to this agreement, that power belongs to God. So here's what I'm taking away from the conference. Power belongs to God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's what we did today. We believe that with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that power that belongs to God, he, when Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, he transfers his power upon your life. to be a witness. Not to go out witnessing, but to testify, as it were, to the gospel of grace, to testify that God saves sinners, to testify to God's mercy. God has been merciful to me, a sinner. And what do I do with that mercy? Well, if God's been merciful to me, I've got some things I do. I want to be merciful to others. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Now, here's where I believe this is to agree. The testifying of Jesus Christ is, Nahi, I'm coming quickly. The answer is, Nahi, come. Everything that goes with that. Church is going to be raptured out. Okay? That God doesn't need the church to do his work in the world. Okay? And when he comes and when he does all these things, how about this? I want what God wants. Or wants aren't very powerful. I will what God wills. So to receive this dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, this power of God is the same today as it is yesterday. And so my expectation as we do this is to receive that power. And when I go back into daily life, it's the power to witness of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because dead men don't come back. But Jesus says, look, I'm coming quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly. You're not going to be ready for this unless you're already ready. So growing up in the particular dead denomination that I grew up in, the last thing I wanted to have happen was for Jesus to come back. Because I was taught he was coming back and he was really, really mad at me. And it's probably somewhat true. Right? But there shouldn't be not a one of us in the room who's born of him would carry such a wicked and evil thought. That's just not true. But the other part, are you good with God's dealings with everyone that you love? Or are you good with God's dealings with everyone that you hate? Think of the people that you hate that God saves and they'll be in heaven. When you would rather what? You'd rather not have them there. How? This power is real. So power belongs to God, mercy belongs to God. And so what I want to take away with this, and really the sending word, is I want to glorify the Lord Jesus. In the end, what do we have left? So we live in a world, and even a churchy world, where a lot of glorifying of man is accepted. But I still keep thinking there's a church or a group of churches or men somewhere who will agree together with the Lord and serve the Lord, serving. That there will be a group of servants who are watching for their Lord to come back at any moment and are ready to open the door to him. And he doesn't come to them, right? He doesn't come to them as a judge at the door. The master at the door. He doesn't come to them as a thief in the night. How can you come as a thief in the night to the ones who've been watching for you to come? Well, why can't we be those men to keep each other ready? And that's the whole idea of this conference. Therefore, the Lord should, after this conference, receive from me that which glorifies him. Now, how do you do that? Well, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. How do you do that? That's the real battle. Self versus Jesus. And you'll make the great decision, you'll get a victory, and guess what? You'll have to do it again the next day, because Paul says what? I die daily. And so, how do you put a handle on this? Well, the only way I can put a handle on this is Nahi. The witness and testimony that Jesus Christ says of himself. He says of himself, he's the Son of God. He says of himself, he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He says of himself, He's the first and last. He says of himself, he is the judge of all things. You do realize the Father has committed the judgment of all things into the hands of Jesus Christ, his Son. I want to know the judge of all, but I don't want to know him as my judge. I want to know him as he has revealed himself to me. So what have you been disagreeing with God over? And it works kind of like this. Lord Jesus, you're not making any mistakes in my life. You've never led me wrong. You've never treated me wrong. When I was corrected, I needed correction. Everything that you've ever done in my life has been exactly what I needed. Everything you've ever said to me is exactly right and true. And I prefer you over me. In a personal, remember what I said, that this was about the word being received into our heart and it going deep into our heart and growing there. And so God should get from about 87 men who made their way here throughout the 2 days, from those 87 men, he should have more fruit in the kingdom of God than he had before we came. That's straightforward. We've been exhorted how important Sunday school teachers are. Husbands. I mean, this isn't, well, I'm not doing this and that, and but why aren't we serving the Lord all the time? Well, it's not meant to be like any one of us would stand up and say, well, I'm serving better than you are. Follow, you know, I don't know if any of us are in that category. We might be at times. Nahi, right? Nahi. He goes out of his way until the last part of the Bible. He says, look, know this, look at this. Look at the coming of the Lord. Look at the previous times I've judged the wicked. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at. And he says, he just keeps saying, behold. Right? And then his last thing he drops on us is, surely. This is my witness and my testimony that I'm the Son of God. I will be back to destroy the wicked, to reward the righteous, and establish my kingdom on earth. And you get to be with me in that kingdom. Now, that's where I want us to be. What does it matter now? Really, are there any pleasures in this life that you would honestly put on a scale against eternity? Right? Now, I have spent enough of my past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when I walked in lasciviousness, licentiousness. I didn't know what those were until I thought, oh, that was me. I know those words because I did them. So enough of my past lifetime doing that, from today forward, do the will of God. No. So just as we asked for the will of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to do some seed into the heart, receive it into a deepness where you will say together with God, right, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. What Satan meant for evil. So you might have a long list on that, and that might be your complaint. What Satan meant for evil, you say God meant it for good. Adam talked about the man who was blind, and he said, well, I wouldn't go back the other way. God uses this. So to have a group of men that would say, I want the Lord to come back because I'm ready for him. And then the real key, to stay that way. To stay that way. And then when you don't, then your brother calls you up, hey, what are you doing? Don't lie to him. Right? Or when you're the guy wrecking it up, you should have 3 guys to call. Because one of them might not answer the phone because they don't want to talk to you anymore. Simply, humbly, I'm not that great of a man. And I mean that with all my heart. It's like you have guys stand up and they teach the Bible. But the truth is, you know, we might have our jokes and we might have things that a lot of times we're teaching the same word and we're learning it that week as you all are to learn it and to walk in that course. And when we stumble, we get back up. And the reality is our Lord is worth following. Wherever he leads is worth following. And when he comes back, his reward is with him. And all I can imagine is, you know, I don't have to have all the details worked out. I just need to know one thing. Look for the Lord. Where's he at? What's he doing? What's he saying? And if you think he can come back at any moment, John writes and says, that will purify. He who has that hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Nahi. That's the witness of the one who's risen from the dead. That's the witness of the firstborn over all creation. What's that mean, firstborn over all creation? He's not created. He created all things. What does it mean, firstborn over all creation? Oh, when he's resurrected from the dead, he now is living a life that's never been lived by anybody before. And that's the same life we'll be living. A new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I could probably talk about the Lord for a couple of hours, at least. But far more valuable for you to talk to the Lord. So, true to form, as we began, I'd like this word to go into your heart. And so, especially if you've heard the Lord call you, and you're called, and you've answered that call, I want you to renew what he said to you from the beginning, when you said, yes, Lord, I will do what you've called me to do. Not because of what it was or where it was. That's one way I sort out the call. Guys call me up and say, well, I think I'm called to this place. Dude, is there a gym? Is there a hospital? What's the weather like? Oh, you're not called. It sounds like you're planning a vacation. Because when the Lord says to you whatever he says to you, then what do you say? Yes, Lord. So does it matter what the conditions are? Do you hear this? So are we ready when the Lord says, because I'm praying a prayer that he taught us to pray. I'm asking the Lord for laborers. And what happens to the men who ask the Lord for laborers? He answers that prayer, but the way Ben said it, you are to be your own answered prayer. Guess who he sends out? So Steve answered that call to come out to the Midwest, back to Nebraska, right? Mike answered the call. Chick answered the call. Now, this part between us and the Lord has to be just settled into our hearts. Jesus, you are Lord. That's it. Whatever happens next, whatever he says next, my instruction to you, agree quickly. What happens when you agree slowly? Chastening. God has a way of helping us learning to agree. Because isn't that all that chastening is? We're wrong, God's right. And he chastens us till we come to what he's at. So Father in heaven, Lord, with all my heart, I thank you for Jesus, our Lord, and all that he bore on that cross to bring us to life, having believed, having received, born of you, new creation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the will. I ask you, take this will of being men who agree with you on your coming. And not just calling out for you when we feel like it, but agreeing with you all the time. This is your witness, so it's our witness. And we ask that you would renew the calling, give calling, and you would establish for each man, I want the Lord, and I want the Lord Jesus to come. In your name I pray, Jesus, amen.